So Chris, is this something that some like people can go to, like they're not necessarily going to fundraise, but just want more information that they could go around and hear all the things and... All right, thanks. So Hoop Fest Sunday. So we're looking a little sparse, even though not too many Hoop Festers around here, but I know there's people that go watch. Yeah. Oh, I hear there's a lot of food down there too. But they go and watch kids and other people, so... We're going to continue our series in Mark. We're going to start in chapter 5 today. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for just beautiful weather out there, even though it's going to be rather warm today. Just pray for those people that are down at Hoop Fest. I know that when it gets this warm, there can be some issues with people. And so pray that people would be smart, they would drink enough water, just be wise in what they do. And Father, thank you that we have this part of the country where we can do things like that. And Father, just pray for safety too. Just, you know, there's a lot of crazy people out there, and just pray for the emergency personnel and those that are down there too, Father, just giving them wisdom in how to deal with issues. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can use it in our lives to help us to live in the way that would glorify and honor you. And so, Father, I pray that this morning, what we do here today, what we think, what we speak, would be honoring and glorifying to you, and that your Holy Spirit would help us to learn and to act upon what you show us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at a specific instance here about the man that was possessed, that was the demons ended up going in the pigs. You probably have heard that story before, but as way of introduction, just looking at this, you know, the idea of evil that's in the world. You know, there's people that can be possessed. There's people that are oppressed by Satan. That everything he does in this world is against God. He's trying to do all he can to make a mess of God's creation. That's his job. That's his business. When sin entered the world through the deception of Satan, it affected all of humanity, but it also affected all of nature. All of creation literally is affected by sin. Disease, all those things that are in our world came into this world because of disease, because of sin. Sin doesn't really set well with the scientific, rationalistic mind of men, because we don't like to think of ourselves as sinners, first of all, and that we need something beyond ourselves. But there definitely, as you dig into this world and how it works, and even science itself, you find that there's something that created it, that it didn't just happen. There's no way it could just happen. Jesus came into this world to ultimately confront and destroy evil. That was why he came, to show Satan that he was going to be defeated. He came and he cleansed the leprous. He healed the sick. We saw last week he even controlled the weather, and he encouraged the helpless. And so we're going to be looking today at a person that Jesus dealt with. And not only did he deal with this person, but he dealt with demons. He dealt with literal evil in this world. So Jesus and his disciples have just come across the sea. They've gone through a storm. The disciples have seen Jesus calm the storm, which scared them more than the storm did. But they're going to be scared again as they enter into the area of the Gerasenes, or the area of Decapolis, which is just a region of 10 cities. And that's kind of the picture there in the background, the area of Decapolis. There's 10 cities in there. And they run into this demon-possessed man, or actually he comes and seeks them out. So if you have your Bibles with you, or your electronic devices, or whatever it is that you read God's Word on, go ahead and turn them on, open them up to Mark chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. So they, Jesus and his disciples, came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to restrain him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, Jesus, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission. And coming out of the unclean spirit, the unclean spirits entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and were drowned in the sea. Verse 14. Their herdsmen ran away and reported in the city and in the country. And the people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, "Go to your home, to your people, and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Interesting that the demon-possessed man seeks out Jesus. He comes to him. This man who was living among the tombs, who had this incredible strength, and yet we see in the passage here that he was also in constant agony. He was screaming and gashing himself. I would imagine the disciples' eyes probably just got huge as this guy shows up. They just got done going through this storm, and now here's this demon-possessed man. One who I'm sure people would have thought was crazy. They've gone from one stressful moment to the next. And yet Jesus is going to show them some amazing things here. Again, Mark uses one of his favorite words, immediately. It says, immediately he ran up and bowed down to Jesus. And then Jesus addresses him. But before Jesus can really speak, the man implores him. Now, they're going to use this term, if you notice that in the passage here, that term implore was used multiple times, but it's not the same word. This first one that's used, implore, or horkidzo, has the idea of you're imploring someone with high stature, with high standing. So he's imploring Jesus, who he says, he recognizes who he is, the Son of the Most High God, and he wants to know, so what business do you have with us? What is it that you've come here to do? One of the things that I think that we'll see here is that the demons are concerned what's going to happen to them. In Matthew 8:29, this is talking about this same situation. Matthew 8:29, it says, "And they cried out, saying, 'What business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time?'" In Jude 6, it talks about what happened with the demons, the angels who fell. It says, "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept them in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day." They know, bless you, they know what's going to happen to them. They know what their final outcome is and that there's a time. And they're saying, "Hey, it's not time yet. What are you doing here? What's going on? Have you come to torment us?" And Jesus says, "Who are you? Who are you?" And they respond, "We are legion." Now, in the Roman world, a legion of soldiers would be thousands. Literally, think about that. This guy had thousands of demons in him. I mean, no wonder he was so strong. No wonder he acted the way he did. And the demons implore Jesus, and this is a different word for implore. This is parakaleo, which is somewhat related to paraclete, which is spirit. But it's an imploring or a begging. They're begging Jesus, "Don't send us away. Don't send us away. Send us into the pigs," which I have always found interesting. Why send them into the pigs? I mean, why do they even ask that? That's just kind of a weird, weird thing. But he does it. He says, "Okay, go for it." So at that moment, the man is freed from the demons. And the demons enter the pigs. And what do the pigs do? They kill themselves. They go rushing into the sea and drown themselves. You know, and I wonder if some of the picture that might be there is how destructive evil is. How destructive that the animals killed themselves because it drove them to that. But then there's the guys that are taking care of the pigs. So all of a sudden, their pigs rush into the sea and kill themselves. And you can imagine what they're thinking. Holy mackerel, that was a lot of money. I mean, this is their livelihood. And so they take off. And it says that they ran away and they told everybody in the city and the country. So they're going everywhere they can think of to tell people, here's what happened. You remember that demon-possessed guy that used to wander around all the time? He's okay now. And our pigs ran into the ocean and drowned themselves. So you can imagine the people responding to them are like, yeah, right. What have you guys been smoking? Culturally relevant, right? So the people come and see. The people come and see. In verse 15, it says, they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. The very man who had the legion. And they became frightened. That same response that the disciples even had with Jesus, the who is this guy that he can do that? And it frightened them. And then they went on to say, excuse me. So they became frightened, and those who had seen it described to them how it had happened, the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him, to beg him to leave the region. So here's Jesus, the Son of God, who comes and frees this demon-possessed man, and they become so afraid of him that they want him to leave. We don't want any part of you. Now, it may be that that could have been, you know, economically motivated. Man, if he keeps putting demons in pigs and they keep killing themselves, pretty soon we're not going to have any livestock. You know, it doesn't really say what their reasoning was. It just says they were afraid. And they wanted Jesus, they wanted no part of Jesus. Now, one of the things also that you need to remember here is, who are these people? Who are these people that he's talking to? Most of them are Gentiles. He's been dealing on the other side of the sea in Israel with mostly Jewish people. But now, this is one of the first times we see that Jesus is dealing with Gentiles. And so, you know, they have a whole different mindset. But yet, Jesus has come there to show them that they can be freed from the evil that's in the world, from the sin that's in the world. And we see that the man has been restored to his right mind. You know, and there's probably some time that went on. I mean, you think about it. So the herdsmen went out and told people in the city and the country. So there was probably an amount of time that lapsed. It wasn't like just a day. Because you remember, they're walking. You know, they don't jump in their truck and go, you know, heading off. They got to walk everywhere they go. So the amount of time would have been time for Jesus to tell this guy, here's what's going on. Here's who I am. Here's what really happened. So he's getting some teaching from Jesus. And then as the people come and they tell Jesus, you know, beat feet, get out of here. We don't want you around. You scare us. So as Jesus gets ready to go, this man wants to go with him because he sees who Jesus is and he understands, and he's like, no, I want to stay with you and go with you and learn more and become a disciple of yours. But Jesus' response to him is, no, I've got a better plan for you. I've got a better plan for you. In verse 19, it says, Jesus did not let him go, but he said to him, go to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and the great mercy that's been put on you. So Jesus is saying, I want you to go tell people about me. Tell people what's happened to you. Be a witness to them. So here we see one of the first Gentile converts who is now going to witness to other Gentiles about what's happened. Now, these people, a lot of them, because he says, go to your family, I'm sure they knew. They knew what was going on with him. And can you imagine when he shows up on their doorstep? Totally sane, in his right mind, clothed, not acting like a crazy man. You can imagine, they're like, I'm sure their jaw hit the floor, that they were probably even wondering, is this even the same guy? And how excited he would have been to share with them, let me tell you about this guy, let me tell you what he did, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you about the pigs. I mean, he would have been excited. Now, there's other places, in fact, in Mark, where Jesus told someone not to go tell about him. In Mark 1:44, he says, see that you say nothing to anyone. This is the guy with leprosy. That don't say anything to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Don't tell anybody. And then next week, we're going to see him say the same thing again. He's going to raise a girl from the dead in Mark 5:43. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. Okay, so why the difference here? Well, here's what I think. So, Jesus is leaving that country. So there's not going to be an issue of the crowds. Because remember that, as we've been going through Mark, that there's been that issue of the crowds coming and pressing on him. And that's one of the reasons he was telling people, don't tell anybody about me. Because the crowds are already huge. Well, he's leaving this area of Decapolis, and so it's like, yeah, go tell everybody, because they need to hear. And he's not concerned about the crowds at that point. One possible reason. So the guy goes. It says he goes and he tells. In verse 20, and he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. They were amazed. Because I'm sure he went to the people that he knew first. Family, friends. He went to them first to tell them what had happened. And they were literally amazed at what went on as he witnessed to them about this. So as we look at our own lives, realizing that we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 tells us that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That sin has ruled us, our minds, our bodies. That we're in need of freedom and restoration. And praise God, that is available. If Jesus can restore this man who had thousands of demons, he can restore us. He can free us. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift of salvation through Jesus. And with that free gift comes new life. I mean, what an example of this guy. Talk about a new life. Totally transformed, totally changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. This is such an example. This man who had these demons, the old stuff gone, the demons are gone. He's got this new life. The past is gone. And then he becomes, just as we, when we accept Christ, we become useful to God. We are able then to be witnesses. In Matthew 10:27, What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. We can have an amazing impact for God, just like this guy did. You know, some of us were saved out of some pretty tough things. And you may have already had those conversations with friends and family when they can't believe how much you've changed. They're amazed. Now, some of them take that and make a change themselves. And some are skeptical. Maybe they're afraid. They don't respond positively. That's part of our Christian walk. Not everybody is going to accept. Not everybody is going to believe. But we can still have an amazing impact. What we need to do is we need to go and tell what God has done for us. That's what being a witness is. It's just telling people, here's what God did for me. You know, you don't have to pull out the Bible and have this theological, doctrinal discourse about, you know, God and creation and all this stuff. That can come later. The first stuff is, here's what God's done for me. Here's how my life has changed. Here's what I was before, and here's who I am now. And every day, God helps me. And life isn't perfect, but God doesn't promise that. Because the promise that He makes is even better. That's eternal life. That's a new life in Christ. Way better than having a perfect life here in this country or in this age. It's that perfect life that's coming. That's the hope that we have. The hope of glory. The hope of being with Christ one day. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can have that hope. That as we saw here in this passage, that Jesus has the power to free us from evil and sin and even eternal death. Because accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior gives us eternal life. And that's what we need to keep in our minds and keep fixed on, that all the stuff that goes on in this world, it's going to pass away. But you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust in you that we have that hope, that eternal hope and glory. So help us to go out into this world and share with others the hope that is within us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, quickly, a few announcements. So next Sunday is the beginning of our one service at 9 a.m. The next Sunday after that will be our first outdoor service. That's July 9. And we're needing some people to help us. Sharon's not available this time, and so we need someone to kind of head up the potluck part of it as far as getting things laid out and you know, the plates and all that kind of thing. So if you can help with that, please let me know. And George has graciously said that he will help cook, but he would like some helpers. So, you know, probably do like hamburgers, hot dogs kind of a thing. And so then other stuff for the potluck. So if you could help him, let us know that too. Vacation Bible School is coming up, and there's a short list in there about some stuff that they could use for supplies. And you can talk to Kathy McConnell if you're interested in helping or doing some other things there. And then the ladies started their Thursday morning group, Choosing the Amusing. That's a book that they're looking at, although I guess it's really hard to find. So you can come whether you have the book or not, correct? You can come and be amused. listen to, you know. So, and if you need more information on that, you can talk to Lynn or you can talk to Carol Glass about that. And then also just want to point out, there's kind of a new little section in here on our finances, and it's tracking our last part of our money that we need. And so we're looking for $30,000. We're already down to $26,000. So praise God, over $3,000 has already come in. And we'll continue to work on that. I sent out an all-church email about some information on that. If you didn't get that, there's a letter in the back that you can have a hard copy of that if you would like. And again, you can ask myself, Aylor, the elders, questions on the building if you have any. So God bless you all. Have a great week.